morning. Good to be here with you. I'm Pastor Perry Schafalker, retired associate pastor at Trinity Lutheran Centralia, Illinois, as some of you know, as I've been here a number of times. Retired in 2015, then stayed on as visitation pastor, and then for a couple years until the senior pastor retired. In August, we moved to, as I think I've also shared before, we moved to O'Fallon, Illinois, where we now have a granddaughter, Carlin. And I was here, I think, just as she was born early, and she's doing well, home from the hospital, and we babysit during the week. So, well, we take turns doing different things. My wife changes the dirty diapers, you know, but we have a good time with her, and she's one of the joys of our life. And it's so good to see your faces again. My goodness. There were masks last time, a couple times when I was here, and what a blessing. Did any of you get COVID? Raise your hand if you had COVID. Okay, a few of you. Okay, so next question. Was there anyone that died in the congregation from COVID? Okay, good. Yeah. Many in our congregation either, we didn't. And I have a little more to say about that in the service. But what a blessing that God hears us as we come to Him. He answers our prayers, gives us strength and healing, and also gives us the opportunity to worship Him and to serve Him. And so we're going to worship Him now, and we do that with the singing of our first hymn, 727, On Eagle's Wings. Would you rise as we turn to page 203 in the hymn book and continue with our worship of God with setting four of divine service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, not today, but on some occasions. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together responsively the collect of the day, the introit, on the worship insert, the indented portions for the congregation. You open your hand. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He gives to the beasts their food. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the first reading. This is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament reading is written in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. We say the gradual responsively with the indented portion of the congregation from the insert sheet. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The epistle reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. St. Paul here. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This too is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia verse and the gospel reading.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 30th verse. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that he had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. We profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, or Apostles' Creed today, 207. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the children's talk, and I invite the children to come forward now at this time. Good morning. How are you today? Anyone feeling tired? Yeah, that's typical of Sunday mornings. It's normal to feel tired on Sunday mornings. Well, maybe I can help you wake up with something I'm going to do here. First, I'm going to show you something and see if you know what this is. Now, I've got something here. We'll get to those later. Does anyone know what this is? Magnet. Okay, I'm going to dump out a pile of nails here. And then I got another. Oh, my goodness. I think those might even be screws. That's hard. No, those are nails. And then I got another pile of nails. I need 2 volunteers. Does anyone want to volunteer? Okay, how about you and you? What's your name?
Justin.
Justin, and what's your name? Oh, okay. And you're willing to help me. I'm so glad. The rest of you, get up here a little closer. Well, we're not supposed to be close. Well, we'll get close for this. Okay. And so what I'm going to be doing is asking each of you to take a magnet. Here's one for you, and here's one for you. Now, I want you to come over here and see if you can pick up those nails, and you pick up those over there. And if you, no, just put your magnet right on there. Just put it right on. And you know, if you twirl it like this, what happens? See if you can get them all on there.
Six.
See if you get the rest of them on there, too. There. If you just kind of push them there, you know, they just kind of go to that magnet, don't they? What? Oh, we won't talk about that. But the main thing is it draws the nails. You can put them down now, and we'll just leave them, and you can get back a little bit, and just look at those. You can get back a little bit. Okay. You're looking really good. Okay, at those. Now, why did I do that? Because as those nails were attracted to the magnets, it drew them. People were attracted to Jesus. He drew them to him like a magnet draws nails.
We are the nails, he's the magnet.
That's right. He's the magnet. And that's why people, you know, he went out on a boat and people would all go out there and they would be waiting when he got back. And he'd go in the wilderness and the people would follow him. The people went wherever he went. He was like a magnet. We call him a leader. He drew the people to him. And they listened to him and he fed them, we heard in the gospel reading a few minutes ago. Other times he healed people. He was like a magnet, a leader for them. Do you think Jesus is like a magnet for us? How is Jesus like a magnet for us?
He died for us
and saved us. How does Jesus draw us to himself? How about right here? Why are you here? Because he's teaching and you want to hear what he's got to say, huh? What he means to you. And then we worship him, we pray to him because we know he has, I'm going to be talking about that in the sermon, he has love for us, he has power. And so he's like a magnet to teach and to help us when we come to him. Just like those magnets. Okay. Would you repeat after me in a prayer? Fold your hands and let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being a magnet.
Thank you for being a magnet.
To draw people to your teachings.
To draw people to your teachings.
And to your power and love.
And to your power and love.
Amen. Thank you for coming up and helping me out here with these magnets and listening and sharing. Yeah, it was great. And now let's continue our service with the singing of the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
We'll sing that last stanza after the message. Friends in Jesus, so good to be back and have an opportunity to worship our God with you and share with you and receive the blessings of our faith through His Word and His Spirit. Today I'm going to talk about leaders, especially, as I said to the children, good leaders. People are seeking leaders, good leaders, business, government, whether it's at the local level, state, national. Leadership is important to all of us. It's important to us in taking care of our property and investing our money and finding good health care and in teaching our children. Yes, how can we be good leaders and how can we find good leaders? That's a topic that is important to all of us. The place to begin is with Jesus. He's our best example of not just a good leader, but an extraordinary leader who has drawn us to Himself here in worship today and in our faith to Him, hopefully every day. He was a compassionate person, an inspiring leader, an incredible, incredible miracle worker. Those who knew Him were convinced of those two qualities I talked to the children about, His compassion and His power. And I'd like for you to read along with me now our text, or at least the first part of our text in the gospel reading. You've got that, or do you have the scripture reading? Okay, let's read from the gospel, verses 33 to 34. That's the first part of our text, Mark 6, 33 to 34. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Well, this section of scripture certainly tells us a lot about Jesus' leadership. His leadership appealed to people. He drew people to him. He inspired them. The mobs, they kind of flocked to him like the mobs today, to celebrities and stars that they give all the attention to. Some of you would say he had charisma. Charisma is that quality to appeal to people so that they like you, they like what you have to say or who you are. He inspired them. Now contrast that with the words in our text, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, there were some who were not good leaders. They were maybe leaders in name only. And that would be many of those living on the earth at that time, spiritual leaders as well. They had no appeal to the people. They didn't inspire people like Jesus did. How about today? Are there people who are like sheep without a shepherd, without leaders? Now, I'm going to say something that may surprise you a little. It's not because the leaders are bad, but sometimes it's because they don't want to be led. They don't want leadership. They want to follow their own rules, follow their own desires, be accountable to no one, nothing. Some of you may think I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we're going to do a little test here. Those here in the sanctuary, if there's any listening online, and we're going to see if maybe I'm right. Okay, first we're going to start with the men. I have a little test for you this morning. Are you listening? You husbands especially. The first question to married men. Husbands, are you thrilled to have your wives tell you what to do? Raise your hand if you're thrilled every time your wife tells you what to do. Okay, we got two, three. Okay, not a whole lot here. Okay, now, but every time, that was the key there, you know. But maybe sometimes. Now, wives, you have an opportunity to answer the question, are you always appreciative of every time your husband tells you something? Whoops. I wasn't appreciative of that. Let me see. Okay, we're going to get this back on. Okay, so how many of you wives are always appreciative of your husbands, everything they have to say? Okay, not a whole, no hands at all this time. Oh my goodness. Yes, and now children. How many of you children are always just thrilled to death when your mom or dad tells you to do something? No. Oh, one. Just one. Sorta. Okay. Well, you know, I think the same could be said on the city, state, national level. We're not thrilled with our government always either. And we just don't want them telling us what to do. And recently that was so evident because, you know, I hear in this region a lot of people didn't wear masks all the time. And even when they came to church, Marion County had a reputation and surrounding areas. They didn't want the government telling them what to do, even if it was to prevent COVID in themselves or prevent others from catching COVID. There's just something about our nature that we don't always like leadership, huh? At least in some matters, we like to make our own decisions. Well, I'm going to let you in on a secret. It may work for a while, but there will come times where we need leadership. We need to be guided. There'll be sickness, there'll be injury or death, and we want the counsel and the guidance and the understanding, the help and the support of doctors, nurses, of dentists, hygienists, of pastors and teachers. You have an excellent pastor, leader here at Trinity here in Hoyleton. And I can give up a little personal example of my wife being a good leader. There, a couple weeks ago, I had my iPads, one went out, and I wanted to find a place to get them back. And so my eye doctor, I called, they didn't answer, didn't say they were closed online, so I was going to drive over there, but it was a holiday, so I wasn't sure if they'd be open. My wife says, I drove by there today, and they're closed in Fairview Heights. And she says, why don't you go to Clarkson Eye Care, because you got your glasses in Centralia at Clarkson, and even though we're going to different optometrists now, that's where you could get your iPads since you purchased them in Centralia. So I went close by. After calling, they said they were open, got my iPads replaced. I am so appreciative of my wife saving me that wild goose chase a further distance to Fairview Heights where my optometrist's office was closed. How many of you husbands can think of times when you appreciate something your wife said to you to do or not to do, maybe? Okay. And wives, have you found times when you, maybe one or two, come on, that your husband said that helped you out? Okay. There are other times when I said we go to God or we go to people and we appreciate what they said, whether doctors or nurses or pastors or counselors, teachers. At times we seek guidance, understanding, leadership, strength. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And how many times haven't we gone to God in prayer and he heard us? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And I'd like to give an example. And this is true, I was told a few years ago, of an example of going to God making a difference. The person is Dr. Randy Bird. He was a staff cardiologist at San Francisco General Hospital, and he conducted an experiment, a 10-month study of 393 people admitted to the coronary care over those months at San Francisco General Hospital. Of those 393 patients, 192 were assigned a prayer group, 201 were not. Of those assigned a prayer group, he called different Christian denominations and gave those volunteers information about the patient. A little information, the name, and ask them to pray for the patient every day. Now, the doctors, nurses, patients didn't know which group they were in during this process. But there were startling results of those who were prayed for. The prayed for patients were 5 times less likely to develop need antibiotics, 3 times less likely to have fluid and build up in the lungs. And not one of the prayed for patients died. So I was so pleased when I made my introduction to find that God answered your prayers for those who had COVID. And I can give a little testimony too. My 94-year-old mother in Wisconsin got COVID-19. She went from the assisted living facility to the emergency room, and they sent her back. And she survived along with my brother, and we celebrated her 95th birthday in May. God answers prayer, just like he did for many of you. Now, our God and Savior won't solve all our problems, but when we call on him, he will listen. He will provide help and support, if not healing. There are 2 things about Jesus' leadership that appeal to the multitudes. I said his compassion and his power. I want to touch a little bit on each of those. Compassion. In the rest of this chapter, Mark gives us an example of the feeding of the 5,000 hungry men, plus women and children. His teaching for those seeking meaning and leadership, and his healing of the sick. Not specifically mentioned in this gospel reading today, but in the chapter. And so I'd like for you to pick up those scripture readings again that you looked at earlier. Let's read the next verses of our text, Mark 6, verses 41 to 42, about the miraculous feeding by Jesus, demonstrating his compassion and his power together. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. Compassion. Compassion means to enter into someone's suffering, to put yourself where they are, maybe your feet into their shoes, we might say. Throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus did that. He entered into the suffering of others. The shortest verse in the Bible indicates it. Jesus wept. He grieved. He cared for those he was with and ministered to. In this case, it was Lazarus, his good friend, who had died. As powerful as compassion may be, Jesus possessed something more than just sensitivity, which is a good quality for all of us. He had a power beyond our power, a miraculous power. He taught, he fed, he healed, he raised the dead. He was sensitive, but he was a powerful, our powerful Savior. I'd like to share an illustration. When World War II ended, the members of a church in Frankfurt, Germany, began the reconstruction of their sanctuary that had been bombed. And they were able to find the pieces of this statue of Jesus and put them all together, except for two parts, the hands. And they had a long debate in the church. You know, churches have long debates all the time. And finally, they came to a conclusion because they couldn't find the pieces, the hand of the statue. They erected a sign, inscribed these words, "Christ has no hands but our hands." That's a powerful statement, powerful illustration as we think about it. Yes, do you believe the scarred hands of Jesus that could be seen by the 500 plus people after his resurrection? Do you believe the suffering hands of Jesus at Calvary's cross for your sins, to be your Savior from sin and hope for eternal life? Yes, let Jesus' compassionate and powerful leadership impact your life as you spend time with him, as you're doing here this morning and doing other Sundays in the church here, listening to your pastor and being supported and strengthened in those services as well as at other times. Seek his help, our Savior's help. Share his compassion and his power with others as your principal, your teacher, your pastor, your other teachers in the school. May you know that special privilege, power, and peace that we have through our risen and ascended and still living Savior Jesus. Amen. And the peace and the presence of our loving Savior Jesus strengthen and keep our hearts and minds and spirits until that day that he draws us to himself in his heavenly kingdom, free of all suffering, sorrow, and difficulties on this earth. To him be glory forever. And the church of God said, amen, amen. Amen. We continue. Would you rise for the prayer of the church? If you have difficulty standing, that's okay. You don't have to get up. We have a lot of prayers because God answers prayers and people are in need. We pray. Lord of heaven and earth, from whom our help comes, we give thanks to you for bringing us into your church, shielding us from our enemies, and providing for our physical and spiritual needs through your Son and our Savior, Jesus. Continue to guide and empower the mission and ministry of this congregation, as well as St. John's Newmenden and the teaching ministry of Reverend Hans Trinklein in South Korea. Be with his family and church family, providing for all of their needs. Preserve us all with faith in your sustaining power until at last you bring us out of this world into the resurrection forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, your mercies are new every morning. Provide your ongoing love to every Christian home. Turn parents in kindness to their children. Make children ready to respond to others in obedience and love. Give us all guidance, teaching, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, be with the governing authorities in our country and throughout the world. Hear our prayers for our president and governor, our military and police, and other civil servants. Be with and provide care and protection for those currently serving in our nation's armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Kobe, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and any others known to us. Stop the violence and the bloodshed wherever it exists, and bring lasting peace and order. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you did not ignore those who came to you for teaching, healing, and strength. Even when you and your disciples were tired, as recorded in today's gospel reading, we ask you to hear our requests for those in need in healthcare facilities, including Laura, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helena, Esther, Bessie, Brian. Also for Roy, Craig, recovering from surgery, and Paxton facing surgery. We also pray for health for Roy, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, all cancer patients, and those with other needs. We ask you to meet all of these needs of those we have mentioned, just as you did when you came on this earth for help. While you lived, cared, and rescued people during your earthly ministry, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the living and the dead, give comfort to those who grieve, including the family and friends of Kim Mulvaney, a daughter of Pastor Doug Meyer, retired pastor of Salem Lutheran, who died of cancer early on Wednesday morning. Comfort and strengthen her family and friends, and all who grieve, to persevere through their grief and return to the work you have for them to do on this earth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that Jesus has destroyed death, so that all who die in him are only sleeping until you awaken them at the last day to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of our years, we thank you for the years and days of our lives, including for Charles, Carrion, Dylan, Riker, Stacy, Nancy, Alma, David, Carla, Lois, Nathan, and others known to us with birthdays this week. We also pray for those observing anniversaries, Keith and Eddie, as well as Chris and Amy. May all of those with birthdays or anniversaries know your goodness through the love of family, the kindness of friends, and the support of their parish family, until you call us to that heavenly celebration of new life yet to come. Lord, in your mercy, for our farming communities, including the farm families of Trinity Hoyleton and this community, continue to provide favorable weather for crops, gardens, and yards. We thank you for the recent rains. Give safety to those who work in fields and other agricultural areas. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Heavenly Father, your Son used his divine power on earth to feed, heal, and save. We thank you that he continues to use his divine power as mysteriously present in his word and by his spirit for faith, healing, and saving. May we receive his gifts and blessings for our souls and bodies as we believe his promises for time and eternity. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we have prayed, through Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we say the Lord's Prayer before the offering is received. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Before we have our closing prayer and benediction, let's sing now that hymn verse I forgot after the sermon, 861, if the organist, I'm catching her off guard here, but 861, Christ be my leader. Let's sing stanza 3 before our closing prayer and benediction. Now, if you would rise, let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of His coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We close with our last hymn, When Peace Like a River, 763. You may be seated.